26.
Nate, called Tim. Do you know my new best friend, Roger?
Tim and the man from the laundry room were sprawled on the deck chairs in front of Friday's sunset. Between them was a 12-pack of beer and half a bag of ice. Trails of water snaked out of the case to form small puddles and drip between the planks of the deck. I've been replaced?
Well, Roger brought a half case with ice, said Tim. What do you have?
I could go get chips or something.
Save it for next time, bro, chuckled Roger.
He pulled a bottle from the ice-filled box.
Want one?
It's why I'm here. He popped the cap off and held it out to Nate.
Enjoy.
Nate took a long pull off the bottle while he found a seat. He grabbed a chair from the table under the cabana.
Long week? Tim asked.
Too long.
Tim held out his bottle and they clinked the necks.
Tell Dr. Farr all about it.
I don't know if I can afford your rates.
That's okay, I work with a lot of charity cases like you.
Roger laughed and coughed up some beer. You want to hear the bad news or the weird news?
No good news.
Nate shrugged. I suppose some of the weird news could be good in that confirmation kind of way.
Let's go with the weird, then.
Nate went back to the start of the week and explained what their measurements had revealed. Then he told them about the chance meeting with the woman they'd all known as Tony and his encounter with Oscar. Neither of them interrupted him. By the time he was done, he'd started his second beer and the sun had touched the horizon.
Let me get this straight, said Roger. Haughty Asian chick was just an actress?
Looks like.
And we're on some British reality show?
Tim shook his head.
I think Nate was dead on. There's no television show going on here.
But
she's an actress?
Yeah, said Nate. He looked at Tim. What do you think? Tim drummed his fingers on the arm of the deck chair. He took a drink of beer.
I've got to be honest, Nate. When you told me your ideas about hidden secrets, I thought you were overreacting a bit.
He had another sip of beer.
If you hire an uninformed third party to conduct your business, though, you're trying to protect yourself.
Roger set his empty bottle on the deck.
From what? On a guess, either they don't want to be in the public eye or they don't want it known they own this building. Possibly a little of both.
Nate took another hit off his beer, but before he could say anything, a throat cleared behind them. He glanced over his shoulder. Tim and Roger looked, too. Andrews stood by the fire door. He had on another sweater vest, this time over a pink polo shirt.
I'm sorry, he said. I didn't mean to interrupt your party. I just didn't want you to think I was eavesdropping.
No problem, said Nate. He glanced at his drinking buddies. Do you guys know Andrew? Andrew walked over and thrust his hand at Tim.
I don't think we've been introduced. I live across the hall from you. I'm Andrew.
So I heard.
He shifted his bottle to the other hand and wrapped his fingers around the offered palm.
Tim Farr, would you like to join us for a beer?
Andrew's head shake could have been a twitch.
Intoxication goes against the Lord's wishes.
Not getting intoxicated, bro, said Roger. Just having a beer or three at the end of the week.
You're not in my congregation, so please don't call me brother, said Andrew.
Roger's eyes widened and rolled.
Sorry, he said. Didn't mean anything by it.
I know it seems like careless fun now, Andrew said. But when your soul is tallied, these are the little things which add up. The Lord asks for focus and devotion. He has a plan, and it doesn't involve alcohol.
Roger bit back most of his chuckle.
You laugh now, said Andrew. But in the end, we shall see who...
Stop, said Tim.
There was an edge to his voice. Nate remembered his first impression of drill sergeants and gym teachers. The word even made Andrew pause for a moment. He looked confused.
When the key to salvation is found, and you...
I said stop.
Tim took his sunglasses off and stared at Andrew. Nate could see the curve of his eyes and found himself grateful he wasn't the focus of that stare. Andrew flinched. He cleared his throat and tried again.
When salvation...
I respect your beliefs, Andrew, and I'm glad they make you happy, but I'm not up here to be lectured at or spoken down to. Clear?
Andrew's lips twisted and his head wobbled like it had come loose from his neck. They saw his jaw moving, getting ready to talk again. His nose flared as he took in a breath.
My apologies, he said. I was only trying to help prepare your souls for...
Tim raised a warning finger. Andrew's mouth slapped shut. He gave them a schoolteacher's glare and marched back to the fire door. He yanked it open and stomped down the stairs.
"Bro," said Roger, "that was unbelievably awesome."
"It wasn't," said Tim. "I just hate bullies." He pushed his sunglasses back on and took a hit off his beer. The door clicked open again and Veek stepped out onto the roof.
"Hey," she said, "which one of you pissed off Andrew?"
Nate and Roger pointed at Tim.
"I apologize if he's a friend of yours," said the older man.
She shook her head.
"I don't think I've ever seen him so worked up," she said. "He didn't even say hello on the stairs."
"Tim used a Jedi mind trick on him," said Roger. "It was awesome."
"Are you looking for a new apprentice?" she asked. "There's a bunch of people at work who need a good Jedi mind trick or a lightsaber up their ass."
"Sounds like the lady needs some relief," said Tim.
He rooted around in the ice and pulled a beer free. Roger popped the cap and handed it off to her. She raised her bottle and they all returned the toast. She had a long drink. Nate shifted aside to let her share his chair.
"Big project didn't go over so well?"
"No,"
she said, shaking her head.
"That was an outside project. This is just the mindless day job. Emphasis on mindless."
She had another drink and turned to Nate.
"I got your email about your day off."
"No need to be cryptic," said Nate. He waved his bottle at the others. "We're all on the same page here." She looked at Tim and Roger.
"You guys are in?"
They both nodded. Tim pulled one knee up to his chest.
"Just before Andrew joined us," he said, "I was telling Nate I think there might be a real mystery here."
"You could so be our Fred," said Veek.
"Want to hear really weird?" said Roger. "Have you guys noticed there are no power lines running to this place?"
Nate and Veek grinned. The four of them drank their beers, watched the last shreds of sunset, and discussed the accumulated oddness of their home.
"So," said Veek as the streetlights flickered on below them, "you figure out what we're doing this weekend?"
Nate shrugged. "I'm not sure. After running into Tony, or Kathy, it just seems like there's a ton of little things that are all worth following."
"The bigger problem," said Tim, "is that it sounds like Oscar knows you're up to something. Whatever you decide to do, you need to work around him."
"True that," said Roger. "Whatever's going on, it's not worth losing your place over."
Nate nodded.
"I think a lot of people have said that. It's probably why no one's ever made all this weirdness public."
Veek set her bottle down and turned to Nate again.
"So you're saying we should keep our snooping low-key for another week or so?"
"Maybe." He finished off the last of his beer and stuck his finger in the empty bottle. It swung back and forth on his knuckle. "Maybe something we won't draw too much attention with."
"Like what?"
said Roger. Nate let the beer bottle tap against his knees.
"I'm thinking maybe we should pool our resources."